Ah, dear, dear, dear. How are you? You good? God is good, isn't he? He's very, very good. Very, very good. Let me just share with you one thing. This is church culture time, all right? So one of the things we've decided is every now and then we're just going to touch on a bit of a church culture thing. And not every week, because you don't want to get abused every week at the start of church. But the one thing, some people would have noticed my little tweet. I did a tweet a couple of weeks ago while we were on holidays. We went to a new church plant down the coast. And it was an apostolic church and a wonderful, wonderful young couple. I was just so excited. I mean, it took us back 20 years, literally. It was this wonderful young couple that were leading this and some people doing worship, people welcoming and a small sort of group of people. And I sat there. We were, as visitors, of course, we were what? We were on time or a little bit early. Because visitors to church are usually on time or a little bit early. And so we were on time or a little bit early, and I noticed that there was another couple sitting in front of us. Weren't many people in the church, so it wasn't hard to notice them. And they were sitting in front of us. They were also visitors, and guess what? They are on time or a little bit early, because that's what visitors do. And as I sat there and I'm looking at this wonderful young couple and the great little team that was doing the job, and you know, we're 10 minutes in, 5 minutes into the service, 10 minutes, people, the locals started to arrive. Oh, I nearly hit them. I honestly, Heather and I, we talked about it afterwards, because every now and then you go to that situation and, you know, funny things happen. Anyway, one year a guy actually asked me to give a word in a situation like that, and it was a bit weird, but anyway. And we just thought, if someone had got us to get up and say anything that day, I would have asked the visitors to go outside for a moment, and I would have got those late-coming locals, and I would have said, what on earth are you thinking? You've got this wonderful young couple that are leading this church plant, and you can't even get here on time or a little bit early to create an atmosphere of praise and worship and welcome people. Oh my goodness, I got stirred up. And I didn't say anything to anybody, but I actually didn't even leave the service. Before the end of the service, I had tweeted already that little message just because I couldn't contain it. So can I just encourage you, don't be late to church, ever. Don't be late to church, ever. Be on time or a little bit early and create that atmosphere of welcome and embrace. It is the easiest witness that you will ever do in your life, is just be on time or a little bit early and welcome who? The visitor. G the V. Greet the visitor. And so just get that on board and take it into your heart. Get it right. Just get that little bad habit out of your life and get it on track. Amen? Is that okay?
Yes.
Do you think that's true? I hope so. Yeah, get it into you. Anyway, good stuff. 21 days to change your life. I've been enjoying the updates I've been getting from the guys the last couple of weeks as Jill and Adrian have opened this whole thing up. I hear that you had the science lesson with Jill. So Dr. Jill gave you the science lesson the first week. And I do want to encourage you, that when Dr. Caroline Leaf is genuinely a doctor, is where that comes from. And she genuinely has researched this thing about brain science that tells us that what the Bible says is actually true. And I love the fact that science is always catching up with the Bible. The way it usually goes with science is they start off saying the Bible's wrong. And every time I hear a scientist say the Bible's wrong, I just start sitting back to enjoy it. Because what happens is in the process of time, what happens is the Bible is shown to be true and the scientists change their mind. Because they get more research and better understanding and they get it. And the scripture tells us that God renews the mind and he actually changes the way that we think. And that our brains change as we read the word of God and God changes us. And guess what? The neuroscientists have found that if you read the Word of God, not particularly the Word of God, but if you change your confession, if you change the conviction of your heart, and if you do that systematically over time, guess what? Your brain changes. And science catches up with the Bible. I love it. Don't you love it when science catches up with the Bible? I just think it's great. I love that thing. There's a scripture reference that talks about the roots of the mountain. And anybody seen the Hobbit? Okay. Gee, you're excited about that, I can just tell. It's a good 2-hour movie. Pity it went for 3 hours. But in that, you notice one of the riddles that they have is what is solid and tall or whatever and has roots. And they're talking about the roots of the mountain. It's actually a biblical quote about the roots of the mountain. And for many years, scientists said, what's this roots of the mountain? There's no roots in mountains. And then scientists explored it further, geologists and so on explored it further and further. And guess what they found? mountains have roots. Isn't that fascinating? And science catches up with the Bible. I just love it when that happens. Anyway, but not talk about it too much or I'll run out of time. We're going to go today to think about the convictions that we live by. Last week I heard Adrian spoke very well and encouraged you all in many things. And I can't remember the actual subject matter, but you must remember, and I'm sure you enjoyed it. Today we're looking at the convictions that you live by. And I want to say this, everybody lives by convictions. Now, when I say the word convictions, you might be thinking good convictions. You know, solid, good ideas. No, that's not what I'm talking about. Some of those convictions that you live by are good ones. Some of them are good ones. But some of the convictions that you have are actually negative and destructive to your life. See, there's people sitting here today who are saying, I'm absolutely awesome. I'm reminded of one of our soccer players in the old team that I've played for the last few years who was receiving the goal kicks. And the goalkeeper was kicking the ball out and he would win the ball every time. And I'm reminded of how the goalkeeper, after about 20 minutes of this, yelled out to his team and said, how come that guy's getting the ball all the time? And our bloke immediately piped up and said, that's because I'm bleeping awesome. Now, I had to bleep a little because of it, but it was funny at the time, all right? And that guy, he understood, and he was too, a very good player, and he understood that he was awesome. And some people are sitting there and they're thinking, one of the convictions that you have is that you're awesome. Now, most of you, I'm looking at you now and I can tell most aren't thinking that. But anyway, God actually thinks you're awesome. He actually thinks you're wonderful. I am fearfully and wonderfully made, says the Word. So if you don't think you're awesome, guess what? Your conviction is wrong. And the conviction that you're living by that's dictating to you your thoughts and actions, it's wrong. But everyone lives by convictions. And some people say, everything works for me. When I put my hand to something, it just works. And other people saying what? Nothing works for me. Nothing works for me. Both of them are living out of a conviction. One is helpful and one is hurtful. Some people go into a new situation and they have a conviction in their heart that says, when I go into that new group, when I go into that life group, when I go into that church, when I go into that new workplace, people are going to become my friend. People are going to think that I'm a wonderful person and we're actually going to have good relationship and I'm looking forward to getting in there and getting to know some people and just having a great time in that new workplace. That's a conviction that someone's living. Someone else is thinking, I've been rejected by everybody in my life. I've had such a bad time. And when I go to that new place, you know what I'm expecting? I'm expecting to get rejected. That's a conviction that that person is living by. They believe it. It's what you really and truly believe. Not what you say in church just to look holy and spiritual. Not what you say in life group because someone's asked you about your spiritual life. What has God been saying to you this week? And you quickly make something up. Just help me help you out in life group. You know, if you're lost and you don't know where to go, and they're asking every week at life group, have you read the word this week and what's God saying to you? You know what you need to do? All you need to do is, oh, I've been reading in Psalms this last week and God's really been encouraging me. I feel like God's been saying that my enemies will be defeated and that God's blessing will rest on my life. And they'll think you're the most spiritual. All lies, it's all rubbish, but they'll think you're the most spiritual person in the life group. So now everybody, all the life group leaders know, if anybody talks about Psalms this week, sinner, sinner, sinner. They know right now, see? It's not what you say to get away with something. It's not what you say because it's expected. It's not what you say because someone expects you to say it. It's what you really believe. That's what we're talking about. And this 21 days is all about getting our convictions lined up with the Word of God, with the promise of God, so that our lives will be built by the convictions of God. How awesome is that? That you can change your life. You can literally build your life out of the convictions that God would build into you. And that's what I want to talk to you about today. Maybe next week as well if I don't get through it, but that's okay. The Bible calls it, before I get to that, one of the things, I was listening to Brian Houston, who's the pastor of Hillsong Church, and it was some podcast or something. And you know, some of you will know that one of the things that he always says, always, is the best is yet to come. And it's become like a bit of a joke and a catchphrase. And as soon as he starts to say it, everybody who knows him will pretty much finish it off for him. You know, can I just say to you something? I thought about that during the week. And I was thinking, for many of us, that almost seems to be like a joke. Like, you know, we hear it, oh, the best is yet to come. And we go, oh, really? Is the best? Oh, maybe I've had my best. Maybe the golden age of your life was when you were 25. Peter? Maybe the golden age of your life was when you were 35. Let me have a look around. Who's just over 35? And maybe the golden age of your life was when you were 40. Maybe you say, oh, the golden age has come and gone. And so the best is yet to come. Maybe not the best is yet to come. Maybe you're 70 years of age. You say, oh, no, all the best is gone. It's all done. It's all happened. I'm just waiting to die now. That's, you know, best is gone. More, everything's bad. And you know what I thought about that? Because Brian Houston is like 60 years of age. And he speaks like a guy who's 30. It's true, isn't it? Those of you who know him. And the truth is, he believes it. He believes it. That's the difference. He believes it. Maybe you don't. Maybe I don't. The best is yet to come. Interesting. What has he done? He's built a conviction that has formed his life. The best is yet to come. And everyone else laughs, and everyone else, but God is building something in him that is precious. And he's got a hold of it, and he will not let it go. That's awesome. Absolutely awesome. The Bible calls it strongholds of the mind. Strongholds, things that are formed in you that either help you or hurt you. In 2 Corinthians chapter 10, in verse 3, it says, "For though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. And we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ." The Bible calls it strongholds of the mind. Those things, particularly those things that are negative in your thinking, those things about yourself and your circumstances that are destructive, that whenever you think about it, you know, there are things that you think about all day, every day, most weeks, you know, just repeated thoughts. They come almost involuntarily. When you think about a situation, that's the thought that comes. I'm good, I'm hopeless, I'm going to be rejected. Things are no good, things work, things don't work. Whatever the thought is for you, I'm always failing, I'm always succeeding. I would try something new, but I always fail when I try something new. Those thoughts that are dominating you, for good or for bad, those are the things it's talking about. And what we want to address is to make sure that we're building convictions that are going to build our lives. That's what this few weeks has been all about. And if you haven't got it up till now, well, you're getting it today, all right? It's building our lives, and you can start today. The reason 21 days is that the scientists have figured out that if you keep this thing going for a period of time, then you form new thingos in the brain. Do you like my technical term? New thingos in the brain. If you've ever seen Dr. Carolyn Leaf speak about this, her husband, it's very strange, but her husband stands on the stage. If she's there, Heather, would you go and stand down there? Let's imagine for a moment that Heather is Caroline Leaf, just for a moment, and I'm her husband, all right? And what he does, he stands in the background here. He stands there the whole message, all the time she's speaking away, and he holds up a craggy little branch, and she's saying, "This is the negative thought that's in your brain." Then she shows pictures of these negative thoughts in your brain and the craggy little thing. And then he puts that down and he waits for a while. He just stands there waiting and waiting. Must be an attractive chap, I think. There's some reason for him. And then she gets around to talking about how the dead branch can become a living branch. And then he picks up a living branch. And it's great. Thank you, my dear. You could give her a good hand. She's wonderful. And that's the difference. It's what's either destructive inside of you or it's what's life-giving inside of you. And it's in your head. And if we could look in there now, we would see thoughts, little synapsy things and whatever those things are called. But we would actually see physical evidence of either negativity or positivity in your brain. And that's what we're talking about. And what they're saying is over a period of time, just like working out, pumping iron and build the muscle, over it. You don't do that in a day, do you? You could go today and you could lift up, 500 kilos if you're really big. And you could do that. If you could do it, but it really wouldn't do you any good. It'd probably just kill you. It'd probably tear the muscle and give you all sorts of problems. But I tell you what, if you took 100 kilos and every day, you just lifted that thing every day. I saw someone out training the other day, and I was really intrigued because I go for walks and stuff, and I see these trainers, and I think it's great. Personal trainers, fantastic. And there was this woman, and this trainer had her with a medicine ball, and she was picking the medicine ball up and then throwing it down. And then she'd pick it up and throw it down. And as I watched, I thought, she's just working. And I thought about those African women with their, those big pole things that they slam into the grain to break it up. And there was this woman with a medicine ball doing what the African women do, just, to get their daily bread sort of deal. And I thought, isn't it interesting in our leisure society, we've actually got to create the work that'll make us physically better, whereas in the native society, they're actually just doing it every day anyway because they have to. And lo and behold, they're a lot fitter and slimmer and all that sort of stuff. Interesting. But what you've got to do is you've got to do it every day. It doesn't help you if you do that one day. Oh, that was a good idea. I heard Ron say that we could lift up a medicine ball and throw it down. That'll help us. So today, this afternoon, you go home and you get a medicine ball, if you happen to have one at home, and you start throwing it down on the ground. And you do it all afternoon. And then tomorrow, you feel lousy. But you never do it again. Well, doesn't do you any good. Doesn't do you any good. It's not a conviction. It's just some little thing you had to go at. You got to have that conviction that builds. For me, so some time ago, when we first became aware of this process, I thought, well, I'm going to give this a go. There's some things that I want to get straight and I want to really build into my life. And the little catchphrase that I worked on for a long period of time, and I still do actually, it still sort of resounds in me. This is my little catchphrase. God is blessing me and building His church. God is blessing me and building His church. Now, I'm interested. Building His church is because that's really my life. I totally believe in the kingdom of God and the building of the kingdom of God. And so for me, that's center life, the building of the church. And the God is blessing me bit. And that's the bit I want to focus on just for a little while this morning. God is blessing me. Now, how did I go about that? What did I do? How do I actually build that conviction in my life? Well, you need to start off by understanding that I grew up in a traditional church structure that was very much oriented against, it was a strange thing, against personal blessing. Now, I have to explain to you that whilst the church that I belonged to was against personal blessing, they were all very wealthy. Over the years, I've often wondered about this. It was an upper middle class, professional people, quite well off, but they had a problem with blessing. They had a problem with the blessing of God, and so they would regularly preach against, like, the prosperity gospel and all that. And the reason that they would do that is because the prosperity gospel had all kinds of extremes that were pretty ridiculous. Stuff about how I get blessed just for me, and it was very inward and selfish. And so they sort of had a go at that. But what happened for me was it formed in me what would be called a poverty mentality. That was this thing that was better to be poor. It was better to have nothing. And if I had plenty, then that would probably be a problem. The love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. And that kind of teaching and preaching was just rampant all the time in the church where I grew up. So it formed in me this idea that it's not good to be blessed. It's not good to be blessed in every area of your life. And so then over time, God began to work on me with that, because that's not a right way of thinking, is it? That's not a good stronghold. If you've got a stronghold in your mind right now that says it's not good to be blessed, then that's not a good stronghold to have in your brain. That's not a good thought to be having dominating in your thinking, particularly if you're a church leader and preacher and teacher. That's not a great thing, because you're going to pass that on to everybody else. That's not a very good thing. And so God began to work in me about the balance. And I actually have a teaching series on the balance of the prosperity doctrine and the blessing of God, which we don't have time today to go into, but there you go. And God worked in me this proper understanding of His blessing. And so when I saw this thing about the changing of the way you think and making sure you're on track, I thought, I'm going to really go for it on this thing of God is blessing me. God is blessing me. And it's such an interesting one to work on. So there's two parts of that for me. that I had to really work on. I'm giving you an example, then hopefully you'll get the system that you can work. So the first thing I had to work on, there's two parts of that thinking for me. The first part was, it's okay to be blessed. That was the first thing. It's okay to be, I had to really address that. Not just the sort of thing, you can sit there and go, oh yeah, amen, it's okay to be blessed. Yeah, well, good on you. What is really got to happen is it's got to get into you. It's got to get deep inside you and become a conviction. Is it okay for me to be blessed? And my upbringing, the sort of training I had in my early years, it would always rise up. Whenever I hear someone say it's okay to be blessed, it would rise. Oh, I'd go, oh, maybe it is, maybe it isn't. Oh, you know, the love of money is rid of all kinds of evil and you know, greed and avarice and all that's bad. And it would all sort of come up in me, you know, and I have to be doing this battle between is it okay to be blessed or is it, you know, not okay to be blessed? And I would have these images of people who are just selfish and greedy and all that. Oh, that's not good. And there was like this confusion. Is it okay for me to be blessed? That's the question that I had to resolve. Is it okay for me to be blessed? And so I went to the scriptures, which is what I encourage you to do. And from the beginning of the scriptures right through to the end, what I found was God's desire is to bless his people. God's desire is to bless his people. And I know that some of you are already sitting there thinking, oh, watch out, you're on careful ground here. Look out, look out. Well, can I encourage you that you need to work on that a little bit? Because that's what I was like. And I've found that what I've done, what's happened is the emphasis has come so much on the negative side of this whole thing of blessing that I think we've lost some of the power of the conviction that to be blessed is to be okay. And so I came back, I went to Genesis chapter 12, verse 1. Abraham, when God was establishing his own people, and God said to Abraham, go from your country, your people, and your father's household to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse, and all the peoples of the earth will be blessed through you. When God was establishing his people, he wanted to bless them, and some of you will get that, hopefully. Well, I come through and I see Abraham's son, Isaac, and I love this scripture, Genesis 26, verse 12. Isaac planted crops. Let's understand something. Isaac is in a time of famine and lack, but he is the son of the covenant. And so chapter 26, verse 12, Isaac planted crops in that land and the same year reaped a hundredfold because the Lord blessed him, blessed him. The man became rich and his wealth continued to grow until he became very wealthy. Some of the versions will say exceedingly wealthy. And everybody who's had the same sort of upbringing as I have or had listened to the same sort of, they'll start, oh, nervous, nervous, nervous about this. Wealth and blessing, is it okay? Galatians chapter 3. Bring it into the New Testament because I want to make sure it's a New Testament principle, not just an Old Testament experience. Having said that, understand the Old Testament stories are there for us to learn from. So don't just chuck it all out. Galatians chapter 3, verse 7. Understand then that those who have faith are children of Abraham. Scripture foresaw that God would justify the Gentiles by faith and announced the gospel in advance to Abraham. All nations will be blessed through you. So those who rely on faith are blessed along with Abraham, the man of faith. Now, those who are having problems with this idea of it's okay to be blessed, they will be ahead of you and ahead of me, maybe at this point, not ahead of me because I know what they're thinking. They'll be thinking that's about salvation, which it is. I'm with you. It's actually primarily about the fact we have faith in Christ, and that's the greatest blessing that you can ever have in your life. And I would say, amen, yes, that's right. But let me take you to another scripture and there's so many of these, but I'm giving you a few. This is what I did though. I went back to the scriptures and I worked my way through and I said, is it okay for me to be blessed? Is it okay for every aspect of my life to be blessed? Is it okay for my family to be blessed? Is it okay for my house to be blessed? Is it okay for my finance to be blessed? Is it okay for me to be blessed? Got to ask that question. You've got to have a really, really solid answer to that. Otherwise, you're not building a conviction. All you're doing is having a nice little confession that you hang on to a little while and then lose. It's not going to do any good. You've got to build a conviction that'll change your life. So I come to 2 Corinthians. This is 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 6. So let's go to verse 8. The whole thing's about giving and stuff. It's great. Verse 8, but it says, and God is able, what? To bless you abundantly, so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. All and every. All and every. That you'll have it all, that everything will be blessed, and that every time, that, you know, when Joe talked about the disability trust people and the guy that came here on the Christmas night and he did his little thing with his little kids trying to pull his pants down, who remembers that? And anyway, glad he had a belt on. And when that was going on, and then he got an offering, and I think it was $1,000 or something that we were able to give to them. And he wrote back to us, and he said, I think he was a bit shocked. And he wrote back, and he said, oh, thank you for that. I didn't expect it to be that much. And I'm thinking, well, I think that's pretty minimal, really. And you know what I mean? Like, expectation. And when that challenge is there, oh, can I give to that disability trust? Well, according to the Scripture, I'm going to be blessed so that in all situations, at all times, I will have an abundance for every good work. Is that the conviction of your life? See, it's not about blessing to be selfish. God is blessing me not so that I can retain it to myself. The Scripture is abundantly clear. If you retain it to yourself, there's curses all over it. But if you allow that to flow, then God will bless you abundantly. Abundantly. We are so bound up on this one, we just got to get free on it. And talking about myself as well, I told you my history. And that you need, and look at this, as it is written, they have freely scattered their gifts to the poor, their righteousness endures forever. Now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will also supply and increase your store of seed and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. You will be enriched in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion. And through us, your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. That's extreme. You will be blessed in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion. I tell you what, I got those scriptures into my heart. I read them over and over. I identified that stinking thinking that I'd grown up with that was a part of my upbringing that just wasn't helpful for me. And I identified that thing and I said, that's not godly. That's not right. It's just all negative. And I got onto this thing that made me realize that God wants to bless me. He wants to bless me in my marriage relationship. He wants to bless me in my family life. He wants to bless me in my finances. He wants to bless me in my health. He wants to bless me everywhere. The Scripture tells me that He wants to bless everything. I think so. But see, we don't have it as a conviction. Many of us battle with it because, I haven't always experienced that. I've had lack and I haven't been able to pay this and I haven't been able to do that. You see, what's the dominant thought? What's the stronghold of your mind? What's holding on in there? And let me be clear, I'm not talking about you having a six-bedroom mansion and a Mercedes-Benz. I reckon if you've probably got that, you're not giving enough. Just being honest. If God wants to bless you with that, so be it. But I tell you what, you better be doing million-dollar missions offerings because, you know, it should just be a little bit of an overflow because the blessing is meant to flow through you. It's meant to flow through you. Can I tell you, we've never had heaps of money, but we've always had enough to be generous to everything. Generous to everything. I never get afraid when something comes up. You know, some issue, some need, something that God's calling us to. I don't get nervous about that because I know that He's going to bless. And I know that the flow is going to be there. And if we had to trust and if we had to believe, have we lived at times where we've had nothing? Yes. And if we had to trust God through those times that He will provide? Yes. But what is the foundation of your thinking? Is it that God will bless me, or is it something else that's hurting you? That's just an example. That's what I did. God is blessing me. And for 21 days, every day in my journaling time, I would read the Word of God. And as I'm taking notes on my reading of what is God saying to me, and I'd make a note about what I thought God was saying to me that day. And then at the bottom of every journal entry, and you can have a look at my journal, and at the bottom of every journal entry, what do you think I put? God is blessing me and building His church. And I did the same thing about the building of the church. I went through all of that and built that conviction, built that right thought process through the Word of God and allowed God to make a difference in my life. Amen? God is blessing me and building his church. And then through the day, because you can't just do it once a day. That's this. I hope they've already talked about this, but you can't just do it once a day. If you want this thing to build in your life, then you've got to build in reminders of that through the day. You've got to be, so every time I thought about the church, every time I thought about our family, every time I thought about our finances, what do you think I said? What do you think the phrase was going around in my head? God is blessing me and building his church. And every time there was a financial challenge, what do you think was going on in my head? God is blessing me and building his church. Every time. And through the day, constantly through the day. You can even put reminders on your phone or something so it beeps at you and tells you. You put the alarm in there. And on the alarm, what would you put as you title that alarm, that appointment? God is blessing me and building his church. And that thing would go off every hour, every 2 hours. And for 5 minutes, you would meditate on the scriptures that are behind that. And you would think about the fact that God wants an abundance in my life. And you would do that 5 or 6 times a day so that you're building something that's going to build your life. I don't know what it is for you. It might be that thing of blessing. That was pretty strong. I knew that God wanted me to share that today. But I don't know what it is for you, but there will be thoughts in your life right now that are hurting you. Thoughts in your life that aren't doing you any good. And God wants to change those thoughts in your life. He wants to change them. And he wants you to build some convictions around the Word of God that will make the difference in your life. Amen? I've got about 4 minutes, and that was the introduction. So I've got about 4 minutes and I'm thinking, now do I go for this for 4 minutes or do I do it next week? What's the vote? Who votes for 4 minutes and go for it? Nobody. Somebody sort of tentatively going, oh yeah, maybe get it over with now, we'll get on to something else. Who votes for doing it next week? That's what I thought too, yeah, amen. I'm finished. I want to encourage you today. What are the thoughts? What are the strongholds in your mind? What has the devil formed in you? One of the things that I want us, and we'll get to it again next week. One of the things that's going on, that Corinthians reference told us, is there is a genuine warfare happening over your life. And it's not, some of you, oh, yeah, I'm being attacked by the devil because you've got a bunion or something, you know. What is a bunion anyway? I haven't got a clue what a bunion is. But anyway, you've got a pimple on your butt. I don't know what it is. There's something going on in your life. I won't get distracted. And I just see the doctor there sitting in the middle, and I'm thinking about that. I think it's Scrubs episode where they're cutting things off the butts of people. Anyone seen that? Nobody's seen that one. They're cutting horrible things off the butts of people. It's really quite a good episode. But I'm thinking about the fact that what's going on in my life. Some people think that's the attack of the devil. Let me tell you, the enemy will attack you more often than not in the area of your thinking. And he will get people to reject you, and he'll get people to hurt you, and you'll get offenses and bitternesses building in your life, and those things will build thoughts in you that are hurting you. And every time you go to that family gathering, you expect to be trouble. And every time you go into that new place, you expect to be rejected. Because in your mind, there's this thing that's saying, I'm not worthwhile. I'm not lovable. People don't like me. That's not what God says. God says that he has gifted you for a purpose. God says that you are the apple of his eye. God says that you are fearfully and wonderfully made, and that every one of you has got gifts and abilities that are given to you by God to be a blessing to every person in your life. Every person in your life. And when I go to new situations, my insecurities start rising up, and they're telling me, oh, what are you doing here? God always puts me into these situations where I'm dealing with people who just seem to be much bigger and have more money and all kinds of things, and I'm going, God, what are you taking me there for? What are you doing that? You know, there's these churches of 2,000 and 3,000, and God takes me there and says, talk to that guy about this or that. And I go, I'm not talking to him. He's got a church of 500 or 600. Had a guy during the week ring me up, got a church of 700 or so, and wants to talk to me about church planting. I'm going, I don't want to talk to him about church planting. That's my insecurity speaking. Yeah. Same as it talks to you. that rises up in me, this thing. God's gifted you. God's sorted your life in such a way that you are there to be a blessing. And I say to that guy, come on over. Let's talk about church planting. And so we have lunch together. He paid for it. That was even better. And we talk about church planting. And guess what? There were some thoughts and ideas that he didn't have that God had put in me that really released him and helped him and encouraged him. See, you can have two attitudes in life. You can have one that's negative and pulling you down, or you can have one that releases what God has got for you. And that's what we're talking about in this series, that you will break the strongholds of that negativity in your life. But I tell you now, it won't just happen because you thought about it today. It'll only happen if you do what I'll talk about next Sunday. So you're stuck with yourself this week. But next week, you can get victory, okay? You can't get it this week. You've got to get it next week. If you've been listening to what these guys have been saying the last couple of weeks, you should already be onto it. And what I'm doing is really just wrapping it up. Oh, I tell you what, next week, I've got some great thoughts for you that we're just going to bring this one home. Isn't that good?
Yeah.
Isn't God good?
Yeah.
God is good. You know, that's a stronghold. Is God good or is God bad? Does God hurt me or does God bless me? Got to really sort that one out. And when you're in church and you're singing the worship and someone, oh yeah, God's good. Is God good? Yeah, God's good. And then you go out in your quiet and dark moment and you go, I don't think God's good at all. I think God's just hurting me all the time. I know how you think. We all struggle with that. What's the stronghold? What are you going to build? Are you aggressively going to go after that rotten thing? And are you going to destroy that and raise up the truth of God to set you free? That's the question. And I want every one of us this year to be aggressive against those negative stuff inside of us, because we are at war and it's time to win. Amen? It's time to win. And I want you winning. And I tell you what, in your life group, if you see somebody who's speaking out of a negative, horrible conviction, just kick them in the bum and go, get rid of that. If you don't like kicking them in the bum, just slap them in the face. That's closer to the brain. Just maybe the back of the head. Just whack and go, I give every life. No, not really. If you're sitting next to somebody in a life group this week and they start out of their negativity, just hit them on the back of the head and say, I'm just reminding you to change your thinking. That's, I'm just helping you out, brother. The scripture says better are the wounds of a friend. So just wound somebody this week and they'll be better off. Let's stand together. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, we honor you, Father God. Lord, I thank you today for your incredible grace and kindness. I thank you, Father God, that you want to help us so much. You want us to be free. You want us to be released. You want us to be open to you. You want us just to be free of all the junk that's been in our heads. And we pray, Father God, you lead us. I pray today that you would help everyone here to identify those things that are hurting them and binding them up. I pray that you would give them revelation. I pray that you would put your finger right in on the key thoughts and the key ideas that they need to attack, that they need to deal with, that they need to get rid of, and that you would help us to build convictions around your word and your life-giving spirit. And I thank you for it today, and I pray you help every one of us, Lord, to do that in Jesus' name. While we're praying this morning, if you want to get to know God, if you want to give your life to him, understand one thing. Jesus died for you. He gave everything for you. You are lost in your sin. If you were to face God today, you would only encounter his judgment. That's all you'd encounter. If you went before God on your own, there's nothing you can do. There's no merit, there's no work, there's nothing you can do to achieve his approval. But Jesus came and he gave his life so that you could face God with confidence. And it's the only confidence that you can come before God with is the blood of Jesus. His death, his life. If you want to give yourself to him today and ask God to forgive you, I'm going to pray right now and you can engage with that this morning. Just repeat after me a genuine prayer from your heart. Father God, I thank you for your love for me. I thank you that Jesus died for me. I ask you to forgive me for my sin. And I give my life to you. In Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed that prayer this morning and you're serious, you meant it, talk to the person who brought you and they'll take you over to our hosts and they'll give you a little booklet that'll help you to work that out. Don't try to do it on your own. We will help you to live that out. Amen. God bless. Have a great day. Who's doing what? You're doing something? Good.